Okay, back over to Galatians chapter 5, and still in verse 19, and be there for a little while. I got a little excursus I want to do at some point towards the end of that verse as well. We've been looking in the context here as Paul's been speaking of the liberty that we have in Christ. And as Brother Howe alluded in his prayer, you know, we can't add anything. We can't contribute anything. It's finished. God's done it. And we have liberty in Christ. But liberty is not licentiousness. And liberty is not to live like the world and the devil. Liberty is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And in the context of chapter 5 here, and I'll just read verse 1 and then skip down to 16 and read down to where we are. But in verse 1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would do. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." And Paul here has been speaking of the Christian life and the things that mark one who's been led by the Spirit rather than one who's led by the flesh. And those things that manifest, that show the being led of the flesh, the things he calls the works of the flesh. And it begins with the matters of those things we would call sexual sins. Those things that are really sins against God's design in marriage. One man, one woman, for a lifetime. And everything that's contrary to that is sin. Everything that's contrary to that is contrary to God's will. You know, whether it be the perversities we see that are surround us today, whether it be the matters of fornication and adultery. And we've looked at Paul spoke specifically to these things. And the matter of adultery is a sin against God, against your mate, against the covenant. Fornication, which again is relations between unmarried people. And contrary to the will of God. And we spoke and we looked at those two things in some detail. We got up last week, I was talking about people just make all sorts of excuses. And I can't even remember what the song was about or the name of it, but one time when I, back many years ago, there was a country song about, you know, something that feels so good can't be wrong. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, it can be. And folks say, well, just follow your heart. You know, your heart will never lead you wrong. Well, you won't find that in Scripture. Folks say follow your heart is as a means of justifying all manner of sin. But really, what set the Scriptures? And I want to look a little bit at that before we continue on here what Paul's teaching us. Folks, follow your heart. Yeah, well, Proverbs 28:26 tells us this: "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely," and that speaks of walking according to God's revealed will. We've got God's preserved will. "He that walketh wisely shall be delivered." God knows what's best for us. God knows what will make us happy. God knows what will fulfill us. And God's revealed that in his will, that, and to walk wisely is to walk in accordance with that. And folks who just trust in their hearts, they're fools. Yeah, I know what, you know, our inclinations are, our desires, our lusts. We call it heart, but often it's lusts. Jeremiah, the prophet, warns us in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Often we're wont to say, and I know my own heart, but in reality, we don't. You know, we're particularly those who are in the flesh. They're depraved, they're fallen, they have a fallen natural heart. It's not safe to trust in your own heart. Even for a Christian, we have to trust in the Word of God. I was reading today about Church of England and things that are going on there, and you know, they've made a pronouncement several weeks ago about supporting God's view of marriage, and then didn't take them but a week or two to quickly retreat from that, because you know, we weren't kind to all our LGBTQ folks and those other things. But the Bible hasn't changed. We don't determine God's will by how we feel in our heart. We don't determine God's will by taking a vote of the church. We don't stand where we do because that's how the church voted to stand. We stand where we do because we have a written constitution. We have the revealed will of God. We cannot alter that. Feelings can't alter that. How our heart is. And yet people again and again will tell you, well, Mama just always told me to follow my heart. We read in Genesis 6 and verse 5 of the depravity of mankind. Depravity that brought a great flood. And yet folks flaunt the symbol of the rainbow, which was God's promise of a covenant not to destroy the earth again by a flood, by promoting the very sins, or some of the very sins, that brought that upon the world. In Genesis 6, verse 5, says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man's heart is corrupt. It's fallen. It's broken. Not in the sense we talk about when people say, boo-hoo, my heart's broke because you hurt my feelings or one thing or another. It's broken. It's not right. And the inclination of man's thoughts of his heart is evil continually. Mankind is depraved. Folks don't want to hear that today. Hello? We were talking in the fellowship, and I wrote my blog this week and touched on some of my experiences when I was in the Marine Corps. And I remember when I first got to Okinawa, the assistant division commander there, he was all into this feely-touchy stuff. Everybody who got there, every officer who came to Okinawa, he gave you a book to read. I'm okay, you're okay. No, you're not okay. No, I'm not okay. We're fallen. We're depraved. And yet that's not what's popular to say today. What's popular to say, well, you know, I feel it in my heart. Well, you better find it in the Word of God, or else you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have problems. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes concerning the natural realm, things of the world. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the hearts of the sons of men is full of evil. The hearts of the sons of men is full of evil. Everybody's, folks say, well, you know, everybody's basically good. No, they're not. Everybody has a little flame, spark of divinity within them, and you just need to, you need to fan it a little bit so that it'll burst out into, they're not. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. The unregenerate man is evil, and he's mad. Now, really, it's madness to act contrary to the will of God, the revealed will of God. It's madness to rebel against a sovereign God. And yet, that's what man does. Madness is in their heart while they live. But for the intervention of God, as Solomon tells us under the sun, this is the way it is in the world. And after that, they go to the dead. Yeah. After that, they die. As I often say sometimes, you can do some things in this world, and they feel good, and it may seem to work for a time, but then you die! And then what? You stand before a thrice holy God. What? The Lord, during his earthly ministry, noted the same things. In Mark 7, verse 23. And when folks were concerned about, you know, what the disciples might be eating, or how they, you know, those things. And the Lord said, I want you to understand something. He says, for from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. It comes from the heart. It comes from deep within man. Everybody's not okay. Everybody's fallen. And from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. There's something wrong inside. Folks say, oh, it's just the environment, you know. If we can clean folks up and clean their surroundings up, and then, you know, everything would just be great and fine. That's what the liberals want us to do. It's like, we're just keep making things, make the circumstances, make the surroundings better, and then pretty soon everybody's just going to be perfect. No, they're not. Because the problem isn't outside of them. It isn't their surroundings. The problem is inside of them. Don't follow your heart. Follow the scriptures. Don't follow your heart. Follow the revealed will of God. Hopefully, and through prayer and other things, the child of God has his heart and his will aligned with the will of God and with the revealed will of God. But apart from that, your heart's deceitful and is wicked, and it will lead you astray. Proverbs 3, verse 5, we're told, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understandings. Don't lean to your own inclinations. Don't lean to your own desires and to your own lusts. Brethren, he knows best. Oh, that we could learn that. Oh, that we could live that. God knows what's best. He knows all things. And so don't trust your heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Word of God. Follow the revealed will of God. And regardless of what happens in the world about us today, and folks again say, well, something that feels so good can't be wrong. Yes, it can. And it leads to destruction. And so Paul's been speaking to us here in verse 19 thus far. The works of the flesh are manifest. They're made known. Adultery, fornication. And before we go on to the next one there, just note that we already looked at adultery in the metaphorical and the spiritual sense. And the word fornication is also used in a metaphorical sense, in a spiritual sense in Scripture. Really, in several places in Scripture, but in particular in the book of Revelation. You know, we live in a day and age, I believe we live in a day and an age where this old world's coming to an end. And I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but when I read of the things that are supposed to be emblematic of the end times and the signs of in the heavens and on the earth, and we seem to be experiencing a lot of that kind of stuff. And the depravity of mankind and evil men waxing worse and worse. And we're involved in spiritual fornication when we enter into these things, when we are influenced and when we embrace false religions and false religious systems. And yes, these things started a long time ago. You know, back, we read here with Paul, you know, there's fornication, there's spiritual fornication going here when people are departing from what God set forth. And Rome, the one world religion that's eventually going to rise up in the last days. All these things are emblematic, and in Revelation speaks of man's fornication acting contrary to the revealed will of God in these latter times. In Revelation 2 and verse 20, the Lord has John write to the church at Thyatira, and he says this: notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. You know, they'd open themselves up to influences from false teachers and false religions. And it influenced them, I think, not just the physical things, but to the spiritual fornication. It's acting contrary to the will of God. Revelation 9, verse 24. 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their theft. Revelation 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she hath made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Spiritual Babylon. And, you know, folks have various ideas of, you know, what exactly that represents. The Church of Rome, I think there may be some application to the whole American Empire. That Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she had made nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Of course, there it's speaking of a metaphorical and a spiritual sense. Acting contrary to the will of God and promoting those things. Revelation 17, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You know, the promotion of false teachings, one world government, one world religion. The wine of her fornication. We're living in a day when folks are under the influence of these sorts of things. Revelation 17, verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. That latter-day one-world religion, which seems a whole lot like the present-day Roman Church, which may form the nucleus and the core of that rebellion against heaven. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication, departing from God's revealed will is a serious thing. It's a serious thing in the spiritual realm. It's a serious thing in the physical realm. Revelation 18 and verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Well, how we behave matters. Who we deal with matters. How we relate to other nations and how they relate to us matters. Folks say, well, that's just politics. Well, read the book of Revelation and see what's going on here. We're talking about how nations deal with one another and the fornication that's committed amongst them. Folks get upset when I talk about the American empire and what we've come to and the twisted alliances we make. That's exactly what's being portrayed here in the book of Revelation and what's going to come forth in the latter days. And we need to be careful to be separated from this fornication. Folks get upset when I say, ain't my flag, ain't my country. You know what? I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be drunk on the wine of her fornication. And increasingly, I see folks who ought to know better that seem to be drunk on the wine of the fornication of the American empire. I really do. Revelation 19 and verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. God won't take these matters lightly. You don't want to be associated with the great whore. You don't want to be involved in her fornications. She seeks to corrupt the earth, and more as we become more and more one world. And just this whole thing, I don't know what goes on with this COVID-19 virus. I don't claim to be a medical person or a prophet, but I know this. Governments, and the one world government, and those that are behind it are going to use this all that they can to advance their cause, to advance their fornication. They're bringing together these untoward influences. And so these things are things to keep in mind. And God uses these things from the physical realm to illustrate these things in the spiritual and metaphorical realm. They're serious stuff. And we ought to take it to heart. We ought to take it to heart, starting as individuals, and starting as families. You know, we've reached the point almost. Somebody tells you, a couple, young man and young woman tell you, you know, we're dating. It's almost come to the point that you're supposed to understand that you know, we're committing fornication. In fact, you know, out there in the perverted world of the harlots and prostitution, you know, that's the language they use. You know, you want to go on a date as they seek to sell their own bodies. And I don't have the answer to all these things. I wish I did. There's much that could be said for the old customs of courting, you know, with supervision. This whole modern concept of dating is somewhat problematic. It really is, and I understand we all grew up with that. You know, that's and it's hard how do we fix these things? And I honestly don't know how to get back. But I do know this: it needs to begin with us as individuals, and it needs to begin with us as families. I cannot fix the world. I found that out a long time ago. But by God's grace, I can trust Him and His Word to fix me and to fix my family. And I don't have all the answers. If you come to get all the answers from this preacher, you got to go someplace else. I don't know where else to send you. I've looked for other folks that got the answers. A lot of them will claim to have them. And they're the most dangerous to listen to, I found out. But by the grace of God, let us seek to stand aright and do aright. To say what the Word of God says is true, it's right, it's holy. What God says is sin is sin. And by His grace to stand there. I wish I could be 100% consistent. I'm not. I wish I didn't have a bunch of baggage and, you know, stuff in the closet. Not that kind of stuff. But can't even use normal the old illustrations anymore. But I do know this, and what I've been making the point all through this, as we talked about adultery and fornication, what you can do is you can go on in obedience from where you are. What you can do when you find yourself at the bottom of a deep hole is stop digging. By the grace of God, I pray that we might do that. Next week, I'll get on to the next point in this disturbing list, and then probably before we transition from verse 19 to 20, I'll talk a little bit about marriage in the current context. And I've been looking at this, studying it a little bit more. I've not been really called to a position on it, but I've long held that there's no legitimate function for government in marriage. It's a covenant between a man and a woman and God. And we're going to talk about that a few weeks hence. And I'm just trying to solidify some things. And again, I don't have all the answers. But as much as we can to try to separate ourselves from the fornications of the empire and of the state. And I realize, you know, we have to use discernment and discretion, and we'll talk about those things as best we can. Next week, though, we'll pick up the next point that Paul raises here, and this disturbing list that's all too applicable to our age, a list that seems to have too much influence even in the Lord's churches and the society at large. Adultery, fornication. Next week we'll talk about uncleanness. That's a little bit more general term. And it can encompass a whole lot of the garbage that's going on out there today. I mean, directly, you know, adultery and fornication may not cover some of these rainbow flag stuff. But the next couple things we'll look at there include that and more. And it's applicable to all of us, and we still got to take the stand regardless of what the world does and says. Okay, let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 72. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that He does. That's my hope, my confidence, my assurance. You stand as we sing this out this morning. Number 72, I know that my Redeemer liveth.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth, again shall stand,
again shall stand.
I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know his promise never faileth, if the word he speaks, and cannot die. Though cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see him by and by. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know the mansion he prepared, that where he is, where I may be. Oh, wondrous thought for me he cared, if any at last will come for me. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that I be given the grace and power all in his hand.
Father, we thank you for the knowledge that you've given your people, that our Lord lives, that he will again stand on the earth. Lord, our prayer with John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for grace to stand in this day and age in which we live. Lord, to be manifested as your people, that by your grace to be led of the Spirit and not by the flesh. Lord, keep us from fornication. Lord, not only in the physical realm, though certainly there, but Father, more importantly, in the spiritual realm. Lord, as well in the political realm. Lord, help us to realize whose we are. And by your grace to maintain our purity as your people, as your church as your espoused bride. Lord, help us to realize these things that have become accepted, embraced, perhaps just ignored in our day, or that they continue to be important. And Lord, your word continues to be important. And Lord, we can't stand but by your grace, but we pray for your grace. Lord, I pray for each one that's here. We pray for your people, for your churches, surely, Lord, the time is soon. May we be found faithful. Lord, thank you for each that's here, for those who are able to listen in to our broadcast. Pray, Lord, for those that need healing, and those that need comfort. Father, we thank you that you're a sovereign God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a loving God that chose your people in Christ before the world was. We thank you for that peace that it brings to those who are yours. And we pray, Lord, in the light of that, we might live lives that glorify our Savior and our Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.